I forgot. It's part of technology. We have a microphone. Technology has progressed. Okay, I'll use the podium. Technology has progressed over the last 75 years in ways that Bill W. could not have imagined when he introduced the traditions in 1955. What would Bill say about a fellow who wants to be friends on social media or link in with you? There are also advances that allow all of us to carry speakers around in our pockets and access fellows online. This panel will discuss issues around the positives and the gray areas that the latest technology brings to those of us working the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. In today's session, we will hear from each of our speakers for 20 minutes and then have questions and answers for the final 20 minutes of our time. Without further delay, I would like to introduce Aaron, who will share for us for 20 minutes. After we move the microphone to this side, we come back over here. Thanks, Aaron.
Hi. So this is hilarious. Hi, I'm Aaron. I'm a compulsive overeater and a 100-pounder. And I have to say, I'll just start with a little bit of my backstory just to qualify briefly. I've been coming to OA since about November of 2011, October, November of that year. My abstinence date is February 1st of 2012, and I have lost 112 pounds since I've been in program. I also would just to qualify kind of why I'm on this panel in my day job, I am a computer engineer for large scale websites. So I deal every day with technology, and I don't know that I have a lot that I would say about Facebook or LinkedIn because I'm not a huge fan of social media. I think in my 3 years in program, I've let maybe four people from program friend me, and, One of the reasons for that is what I like about the 12 steps is the personal connection and just meeting people face to face. I mean, I was somebody who tried to conduct my entire social existence on Facebook, and you know, everything was about what I wanted to broadcast out to other people, and there wasn't so much of what came back to me. I wanted to kind of go on Facebook. I guess we're going to go ahead and say the names of those things on the, here. It's not an outside. I would go on my social media thing, and I would post my complaints and my successes, and all I wanted to do was count how many people commented or liked it and then move on with my day. And I really – I don't think I really connected with people until I learned how to make outreach calls and actually just get somebody else on the phone. And people had to educate me a little bit. Like, they said, what you do is you call the person on the phone and you say, this is an outreach call. And then they take it from there. And I was like, really? You can just call somebody? This is an outreach call. And they're like, oh, cool. Let me tell you what problems I'm having. Which is one of the beautiful things about it. I've never had an anonymity break. I've never really had an anonymity issue. Because of social media, but like I say, that's because my social media presence is very, very small. And my interest in technology and the 12 steps actually goes a little bit in the other direction of what the 12 steps and the current organization of our program isn't doing with all of the technologies that are currently available. Using things like mobile, you know, I'm surprised that to this day that there's still not an Overeaters Anonymous mobile application of some kind with meeting directories and a way for us to contact people. I think that there's a constant discussion going on about why don't we see more young people in the rooms? And part of that is social. Part of that is because, I think to hit rock bottom in this program, you need a few more years than to hit rock bottom in AA or NA. If you're dealing with food, it takes a longer time to figure out that you don't actually have it. You don't actually have the ability to control these behaviors. But the other fact of it is I know that people under the age of 30 have been trained to not pick up pieces of paper. So when we have things in meeting rooms that say, you know, here's a bookmark about the birthday party, here's a flyer about the upcoming promises meeting, my brain from the generation that I grew up in says, that killed the tree. I don't want to touch it. Trees died for this, and they shouldn't have to die for us. And what I want to know is how do we get OA onto the phones? How do we get OA into an online situation so that I can look up any meeting, any location from where I am, from my smartphone, because that's what kids and young adults are dealing with these days. And that brings up this issue of every piece of information that we put online can be harvested and cataloged. In this day and age, anything you put on the web can basically be correlated to something else somewhere. Something as simple as having an email address list or having, you know, it's much different to put a list of email address contacts or phone numbers on the web than it is to have a We Care book circulating at a meeting. I actually, one way in which I wanted to protect my own anonymity when I came into the rooms was I created an entirely separate email account that my own email account actually contains my last name. So I created an entirely separate account for recovery-related business simply so that when I put my name, you know, information down on a sheet of paper, it was not like, here's my first name, and if you have my email, you have my last name also. But it's weird because you have my phone number, which I think is a lot more information than an email address. I mean, if you have my phone number, you know what city I live in. And there's all kinds of things like that we start to deal with. Once this information gets put online, it really can be harvested. A lot of the technologies that are coming out today can automatically scan websites. It's amazing to me when you go to Google what you type in. I'm always surprised when I get like details from a Facebook page from a Google search, and it's because there are systems and computers that are literally just gathering up as much data as they can. There is a question. I recently actually went to the LA Intergroup and talked to them about creating a mobile application for OA, and one of the big questions that comes up is, well, if I put this into the Apple App Store or if I put this into the Android App Store, you have to provide a third party. You have to provide Android, you have to provide Apple with your account information. This means that somewhere out in the world there is now a record that you have an interest in, you know, the Overeaters Anonymous app, which may or may not be a break of anonymity for you. There are tons of applications, though, that are out there. There are big book applications. The Joe and Charlie recordings is a mobile app that you can get on the App Store. It's not a serious break of anonymity. You know, it's not like anybody's ever going to go ask Apple, hey, give me all the anonymous members that you've ever, you know, served an application to. But it's there, and it makes me nervous. And it's one of the reasons I keep my Facebook profile kind of locked down, and it's one of the reasons that I just am very careful about that channel. You also don't want to, you know, for me when I talk about technology, I don't think you, I mean, I may be wrong about this, I don't feel like I could work my program, you know, by telecommuting. I think there's only so much of the program that you can put online. Phone meetings are great. You know, Skype meetings are awesome because you don't have to pay the long distance charges and all that. But there's only so much that you could actually put online. I think one of the conversations that was had by the committee when we were putting this group together, when we were putting these things together, was somebody said, you know, around the world and around the country, there are areas where they don't have a lot of meetings. Maybe we could record the marathon meetings along with the panels and along with the workshops, and that way people who don't have access to meetings could at least get to a meeting, you know, virtually. I don't think that helps. That's just my opinion. Take what you want, leave the rest. But I don't think you can telecommute into a meeting. I think it has to be kind of happening there with you. You know, how many of us have sat in a room and we came in intending to just come in, do our meeting for the day because our sponsor says we got to get to 5 of them a week, listen and leave, but we suddenly feel ourselves moved to share. We suddenly feel ourselves moved to connect. So, you know, there's only so much that we can put online. I have no idea how I'm going to continue to talk for 20 minutes about this topic. I'm just going to be completely honest with you. The only other thing that I really like to talk to people about, and I think I started on this and I'm a little everywhere, but there is a lot of technology that's coming down the road that's getting cheaper and easier to access that is going to change the way 12-step groups work. And it's going to change the way that we can even have meetings. One of the ones I like talking about is like, there's now a device that you can buy, and you'll find them in coffee houses and stuff. Every once in a while, I look at my phone, and I notice that because I have, you know, the Starbucks app installed, when I'm near a Starbucks, like if I'm within half a mile of a Starbucks, a little thing pops up on my phone that's like, you're near a Starbucks. Would you like coffee now? And I look at that, and I go, that's scary. But I would kind of love to have that for a meeting. I would love it if meetings, like if I could just get popped up, by the way, you're only one block away from an OA meeting. You could go there right now. You could get recovery. yeah, it's very cool. I mean, I look ahead and I think, you know, hey, this is going to be a new service position. We're going to have the timer and we're going to have like the beacon carrier. And there's this, you have this little box and you turn it on when the meeting starts and then people wander in. My phone said you all were here. You know, I want to digitize as much information as we can while maintaining anonymity. And I really want to reach out to people in real time on the phones. I've been exploring this kind of coming up to this meeting. I've been exploring what applications there are available. I found websites that are devoted to recovery resources. There's a lot of social news sites. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of Reddit. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of these kinds of things. But there are forums and places where you can connect with other people who are just interested in recovery in general from various addictions and behaviors. I found out somebody – I don't think this is the first attempt, but I did find, you know – there's a recovery-based social media site, which is built entirely around the 12 steps that I found. And I think it's called In the Rooms. But the idea is that, you know, you log in, you create an account. It doesn't require your email address. You don't have to connect it to anything if you don't want to. You can just have the account on the site. You give them as much information as you're comfortable with. And you can tell them which fellowships you belong to for someone like me who's in multiple programs. And you can tell them which one's your primary and which ones are your secondary. And it tries to connect you with other people who are trying to recover from the same thing. So you have, and it has an app on the phone and it's available as a website. So, you know, this may be a good alternative to connecting with each other in the public facing world of Facebook, LinkedIn, and so on. Is to just maybe 12 steppers need to start creating 12 step specific environments where we can have all of the support and all of the same ways to connect that we get out of a, you know, the mainstream social media site, but we've removed some of the thing, you know, we don't post your relationship status, we don't post your full name, we don't tell you what, you know, town you're in. We just design a system that is, that knows the traditions, that has the traditions in mind when we make it. So that was really my interest in doing the panel and talking about it. And I have nothing else to say unless anybody has questions. So I'm going to pass it off to the next speaker, and thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Aaron. Let's see. Next up, we have Margie. And here you go, Margie.
Thank you. Thank you, Aaron. My name's Margie, and I'm a compulsive overeater. I find it real interesting that the other two panelists are young and that most of the audience is older, probably because most of the younger people figure they know all the stuff about, I mean, that's just my guess, is that they think they know all of that stuff, and most of you probably think that you don't, which may or may not be true. Hopefully it's not true in my case. I am 64 years old, so I am not in the younger group, but I'm certainly not in the old ones yet. Too much. I did just get this thing in the mail this week that said, welcome to Medicare, because I'm going to be 65 in 6 months or so. Anyway, that's just a trip. Oh, my goodness. I came into OA more than 35 years ago when, in 1977, when I was 27 years old. There was not any technology around at that point in time. I had my first personal computer in 1986, and one of the things that I did early on in technology was I was on a listserv, which is essentially an email loop or list, and that, you know, that's something that's been around for a long time, and it's sort of the precursor to some of the loops or Yahoo group or whatever group that's around these days. I utilized technology fairly early in program. For a while, I was calling a sponsor out of town 3 days a week when it cost to do that. It, you know, I also called people from when I lived up on Mount Hood near Portland. I still live around Portland. And it was a long distance call to that. But that was the technology of those days. And these days are very, very different. And I have a great interest in technology and computers and have for a long time. Somebody came up to me before the meeting and said, is it going to be about podcasts? And well, this is not a how-to, but I utilize podcasts a fair amount. I download them, have them on my phone. I use them as a basis of a meeting because I go to some meetings that don't have a lot of people because I live in a small town. And so it, those things can be utilized to provide a speaker for a small meeting. And that's an excellent way of doing things. Of course, there are phone meetings and other, and phone meetings and online meetings. One day, not that, well, a couple of years ago, I got on a online meeting because I hadn't been on one. And I got on there a little early, and we were chatting back and forth. And somebody said, how many meetings do you get to a week? And I put in 3 to 5, and they said, well, is that face-to-face or online? And I said, face-to-face. And they said, they wrote back and said that their nearest meeting was 500 miles away in Turkey at one of the capitals in Turkey, and that just sent shivers up my spine even today. I mean, that I would prefer, if I have face-to-face meetings available, to do the face-to-face. My friend of mine says it's eyeball to eyeball that we get recovery, and I think that that's true. But if you can't get it any other way, then that was the way that that person could do that. And that just is, and I think for smaller populations of people who have specific needs, that phone meetings and online meetings can be incredibly helpful to identify with people with similar things who want to recover from this disease. I think it's also really easy to hide when you're on the phone or online. And, you know, it's, I can lie or lie by omission of what I say to people and let them think that I'm a whole lot thinner and more recovered. I can sound much more recovered than I am. Part of this program has to do with being honest with myself and with my God by working through the 12 steps. I used to, even though I use technology a lot, I still wanted to write journal entries by hand, but more and more I'm doing a lot of personal writing, sharing into the computer and just doing it that way. And all of those things are technology that we utilize to help us in our recovery from overeating, using the technology of in whatever way is available today. I am really careful of, anonymity breaks online. And I am also, I don't do Twitter. Actually, I created an email account and created with a totally false name, address, everything, so that I could check out Twitter a little bit and do some stuff, just to see what it was about without actually getting, you know, dipping my feet in and breaking anonymity. And, well, the main reason for that is because I'm on the board, I'm currently on the board of trustees, and I didn't want my, even my last name email address associated with anything to do with Overeaters Anonymous online. So I did that, but I don't use it very much. I think it's pretty interesting. The social media just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, but I like Facebook a lot, but more for all kinds of friends and even OA friends all across the country more than for sharing OA stuff, just hearing about my friends and their lives all across the country. And, you know, that is not for recovery stuff specifically. I am real grateful for my abstinence and for my weight loss and, for working the steps. And, of course, that's where the recovery comes from. These technology things can be tools. They can be tools to hide or tools to advance our recovery. And, that's true of almost anything. Running low on things to say, too. I guess I'll just leave it at that. I have used technology for advancing recovery for a long time, and I'm really pleased about that. So thank you very much.
Hi, I'm Joanna, anorexic, bulimic, and a compulsive eater. Thank you, Aaron and Margie. It's a good panel, and I think I just want to start by saying, you know, we're here to share our experience, strength, and hope, which is a really nice 12-step way of saying I'm about to give you my opinion. And keep in mind that it's my opinion, right? This is my experience, and so take what you like and leave the rest. I have very strong opinions about anonymity online and social media. So I'm going to share them with you, and for some of you that might be like a warning, like, ooh, I have to watch out for doing that. Some of you may be the culprits of some of the things I'm about to say, you know, and for others it might not apply at all. And but I think that, as Aaron said, technology has changed in a way that Bill W. and Dr. Bob could have never anticipated, I mean ever. And some of that is a blessing, and a lot of it is a curse, in my opinion. Podcasts, phone meetings, Skype meetings, online meetings, what a gift, you know, tremendous gift for people, as we've heard other people reference, people who live hundreds of miles from an in-person meeting. I mean, this is such a phenomenal thing. However, I have a sponsee, for example, who travels extensively, and she has to check in with me every day. And over a six-month period, she also likes to sponsor herself, so she rarely asks for a phone call back. And over a six-month period, I realized that she had said the word podcast to me almost every day for 6 months, and I had not heard the word meeting. And what she was doing was she was using the podcasts, or she was calling into phone meetings, but she wasn't checking in on the phone meeting. She was doing other stuff, right? She's cooking or doing something, right? So she's not actually present. And in my experience, of 12 steps, and I have multiple programs. And by the way, I'm sorry, I should have led with this. My abstinence date is February 4th, 1996. God willing, in 11 days, I'll have 19 years. And thank you. So my recovery came from getting in the rooms and looking at people in the eyes and putting my hand up and saying, I'm Joanna, I'm an anorexic, bulimic, and a compulsive eater, and I'm struggling today. I can't stop throwing up. I can't stop obsessing about food. Or maybe it didn't have anything to do with food at all. I'm homicidal and I want to kill my husband. You know, like whatever the situation was. But having someone else look at me and say, I've had that problem too. You know, I understand. You know, there's a certain level of interaction. I actually don't allow my sponsees to text or email me. The only time they're allowed to do that is if they're setting up a time to talk to me. And I was taught that when I first came in. I came in 1995, and communications were a lot different then. We did have cell phones, but they were rather large. We all still had home phones. You know, my check-in time with my first sponsor in OA was 6:10 a.m., and you know, and if I didn't get her, I left a message on a home recording machine, for those of you who remember that. So, you know, it was a different time. And so as a result, I don't allow my sponsees to text or write me because we have a tendency to hide. This is a disease, in my experience, that carries a lot of shame. And it's very easy to hide behind texting and writing. It's easy to hide on a phone meeting. It's easy to hide behind a podcast. And it's even easy to hide on an online meeting. You know, it's when you're in person, it's very different. And it allows you, or the experience has allowed me, to become okay being me, to accept who I am, to know that I'm not alone, and to have other people sort of reparent me in a way that doesn't happen behind the technology wall, in my opinion. I, too, created a separate email account for 12-Step. It has my initials on it and a bunch of numbers. You wouldn't even know my first name, frankly, on that email. Here's where technology fails us. I have friends who have taken that email and they've put it in their contact list with my full name, first and last, so that when they send an email out to someone else, what appears is not my email address, it's my name. And whenever I see that happen, I contact the person. I'm like, you get that last name off there, right? I don't care if it's confusing to you in your context. You're not to use my last name with that email address, period. And I've had it happen a couple of times. I'm very vigilant when people email me in 12-Step about checking to see if my last name is showing up next to that email. I've also had problems with OA online. Not many groups do this, but in our group, we put down contact for our meetings. That's a really nice thing that we do. However, what OA has started to do is they've taken our 12-stepper, which is a printed thing that you get in a meeting, and they are posting the 12-stepper in full online. So if I am the contact for a meeting, my phone number is searchable. If you Google my phone number, the first thing that came up, until recently because I fixed it, was an OA meeting. That is a break of my anonymity. And I contacted the webmaster at OA, who responded very quickly when I contacted her. It happened to be an old contact. It was an old 12-stepper. Believe it or not, this just happened in 14, and it was a 12-stepper that was still online from 08 and 09. And she took them down immediately. I was very grateful to her. However, what happened was there are groups in town who will aggregate information about 12-step meetings and post them for visitors. And what had happened was one of those groups had picked up our 12-stepper. So now my phone number with my first name next to it associated with OA is on an email, is on a website that we don't control. And she was nice enough, and she reached out to them and asked them to take it down. They didn't take it down at first. We pushed again a couple of weeks later. It did eventually come down. But this is the kind of thing where a business contact of mine, Googling my phone number, for what, you never know why anybody does anything, but I do not want OA to be the thing that pops up. We had an interesting debate in a meeting that I attend recently. They wanted to put the minutes of our business meeting and other information from the meeting in the cloud. Right? Now, in theory, that's protected and nobody can access it. But we all know that's not the case. The cloud is breachable. It is. You know, Apple just had that problem, right? The iCloud got breached by a bunch of people who were targeting celebrities, and they got all kinds of scandalous photos as a result of breaking into people's iCloud accounts. So I am very uncomfortable with the idea of any meeting information being put in the cloud for access by members. So that's just a couple of examples of general technology. The other thing I'll tell you, my cell number has an ID on it. It's a caller ID that AT&T puts on it. I phoned a fellow the other day, and my phone number goes through a business. And she picked up the phone, and she goes, "What's XYZ company?" obviously I just made that name up, but I had forgotten that when I make a program call, my company name can be seen by anyone who doesn't have me in their contacts. That's another breach of my anonymity. There's nothing I can do about that unless I want to block my caller ID every time I make a phone call, which I can do. But I don't know about you. I have a tendency not to pick up phone calls that come from no caller ID. So if I ever want my phone call answered again, that's going to be difficult. The other thing I wanted to address in this conversation about technology is social media. This is a different 12-step group, and I'm tempted to read the language we use directly, but I won't because it's not OA conference approved. But I just want to let you know that there are some other 12-step groups have tried to tackle the issue of anonymity in social media. We have some language in that other group that we use. I'm happy to share it with someone after this if they're interested, that essentially says, when it comes to social media and anonymity, stop and think. And it says, never take a photo or a video of any person's attending a meeting or an event. So think about it. Have you taken any photos this weekend? Right? If you've taken a photo and you post it online from this event, you are putting your anonymity and my anonymity at risk. The other thing it says is never post any images, icons, the 12 steps, the 12 traditions, or slogans. When you do that, you break your own anonymity, and you put anyone who is friends with you at risk. And so I'll give you an example. I have friends. I use social media for marketing, and I use my name, my full name, for my social media site. So, for example, my Facebook account has nearly 5,000 people because that's the most that you can have. And with 5,000 people, all I have to do is look at somebody, and it says, you have 1,050 friends in common. Okay, that's a 12-stepper. You know, like I know it instantly. And what'll happen is I'll post something. I might post something that my business associates and my colleagues are looking at, and somebody will post a comment, and that person will have an AA logo as their Facebook picture, mm-hmm. or an NA logo, or any 12-step logo, right? Or they might post a slogan of some sort. You are breaking my anonymity when you do that on my page. And I'll give you another example of something that makes me nuts. And by the way, I unfriend people instantly when that happens. If someone's got as their picture one of our slogans, logos, or anything like that, I unfriend you. I don't care. I am like a black belt Al-Anon when it comes to that stuff. Do not put my anonymity at risk. I have a zero tolerance policy. And I'm about to tell you a story that contradicts what I just said. So I have a friend I've known for 30 years, long before either one of us ended up in the rooms of any 12-step programs. We've known each other since we were teenagers. We have hundreds of friends in common. We grew up in New York City. He is a 12-stepper, and I am a 12-stepper. On his natal birthday, I posted on his wall, happy birthday. That's it, by the way. Happy birthday. Natal birthday. His reply to me on his wall was, thanks, sweetheart. Been a while. Let's get together at a meeting. Are you kidding me? So this happened in 2013. I message him. I private message him on Facebook, and I'm like, you get that off your wall. You're breaking my anonymity with that. That's not okay. So in 2014, his birthday pops up, and I again post on his wall, happy birthday. And he again replies to me, hi, sweetheart. It's been a long time. Let's get together at a meeting. Okay. Screw me once, shame on you. Screw me twice, shame on me. Right? I've already slapped his wrist for that one. I'm not going to do it again. I'm also not going to unfriend him because there's a relationship that goes far beyond the 12-step rooms with that one. But I am never wishing him happy birthday on his wall again, and I know better than to reach out to him in any way on social media. I'll text him. I've got his phone number. I can text him. Right, I do not want to engage with him on social media. The other thing that I will not do is I have a lot of friends who will post 25 years free today from food or free from, or some will even say I'm 25 years sober, you know, like flat out, like they're breaking their anonymity. I will not retweet or like on Facebook that type of post because doing so, that implicates me as well. and I'm not interested in going there. You know, and so, and the final thing I do is on my own birthday, whether it's my OA birthday or another birthday in other programs, I shut down my wall. Because I don't want any of you stupid people out there who have no regard for their anonymity posting on my, hey, happy 10th birthday. And it happens, by the way. I learned that through a lesson. So, anyway, that's sort of my do's and don'ts. Those are my, that's my personal rule book. Like I said, this is all my opinion. Take what you like, leave the rest. I will say, though, just to sort of tie it back to the 12 steps into spirituality, which is our primary purpose. Well, our primary purpose is to carry a message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. So my message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers is, for me, it all comes down to God. The OA 12 and 12 and step 11 says, God is what is, right? So, you know, I have, I've been taught, and by the way, I'm using the word God just because it's common language here, but it's God as you understand him. So if that word doesn't work for you, insert whatever works for you in terms of a higher power. So God, for me, it's reality. And when I don't like reality, when I'm angry at you, when I'm angry at a situation, when I think something should be different than it is, then I am out of sync with God. And I need a bigger God in that moment. And that understanding of the 12 steps, which I actually got, I mentioned I came in the 90s, and back then we actually didn't use the OA literature. It had just been published when I came in, and the sponsors at the time were still very much about the AA literature. So I was brought up in this program on AA literature. And in the AA 12 and 12 in step 2, it says, we are like children making an impossible list for Santa Claus. And I love that line, because the impossible list, as I was taught it, the impossible list is that I think life should be other than it is. I think that you should be different. I think I should be different. I think things should be different. I think things should or shouldn't happen. I mean, I have all kinds of ideas about what ought to be going on that's not. And when I do that, I am like a child making an impossible list for Santa Claus. And so when something happens, I get a breach of anonymity, as in the myriad cases I just rattled off in the last couple of minutes. Yeah, I get mad. Sure. Yes, I get into fear. Because I, who knows, I don't want people to know I'm in a 12-step program. Maybe they'll reject me, you know, whatever. All the stuff, the fear, the whole thing happens. But then I get into God and realize, like, it's perfect. It's exactly the way it's meant to be. You know, the 12-step, when we first started in the 1930s, I don't know if any of you have read any history about the 12-step program, about AA. There's some great stuff out there. They struggled mightily to figure out these 12 traditions. I mean, the way they figured out the 12 traditions, the way Bill W. came up with the 12 traditions, was by having things happen in the rooms and then going by what felt right and wrong. That's exactly, in my opinion, where we are with this technology thing. You know, it is moving so quickly, and there is, you know, we are figuring it out as we go. You know, it's like, this doesn't feel right. Okay, that doesn't work. This does work. Okay, great. Then that works, you know. And that's, we're in the infancy of the digital technology era of 12 steps, in the same way that Bill W. and Dr. Bob and the first 100 were in the infancy of AA back in the 1930s. And yeah, it's painful. There's growing pains. There's no doubt about it. And we'll figure it out. You know, that I have faith in. And so just to wrap it back into the God thing, when any one of these breaches happen, I have a tendency to either reach out to my sponsor or reach out to a fellow. You know, I vent for a little bit. And then it's like, okay, it's okay. It's perfect. It's exactly the way it's meant to be. And I just will give you a quick definition of the word perfect, because I love this. So I looked stuff up in the dictionary. I think I know the English language. I don't know the English language at all. So I looked up perfect in the dictionary, and stick with me on this one, because it's going to sound bad at first, but it's really not. So the definition of perfect is without fault or defect. Okay. And I really started to think about that. And I'm like, am I without fault or defect? Do I have a problem, a fault so big that if I went to a doctor, he would say, I'm sorry, the problem you have is so big I have to declare you inhuman. You're part snake. No. Like, I'm a human being. I am perfectly human. I am without fault or defect as a human being. I am exactly the way a human being is supposed to be. There is no rule that says you should or you shouldn't, right? If I'm a certain way, it's because higher power, God, the universe, spirit, whatever, made me that way, and I am exactly as I'm meant to be. Here's the rub. That means you're exactly the way you're meant to be, too. Right? And on top of that, the situation is exactly the way it's meant to be. Like, if the perfect rule applies to me, it applies to you and everyone else and everything else. And so really where the Zen moment comes in for me is the technology is what it is. The situations are what they are. We're trying to figure them out. We're fumbling our way through them. And it's perfect. It's exactly the way it's meant to be. There's nothing wrong with it. And, you know, life goes on. So thanks for letting me share.
Perfect. Thanks, Joanna and Margie and Aaron. Now is the time for questions and answers. Please raise your hand, and I will call on as many questioners as possible. Your questions can be directed at one person specifically or generally for the panel to answer. Please be aware that we are recording this panel, and when asking a question, your voice may be audible on the recording. Who would like to ask the first question? Perfect.
Hi, my name is Simi. And I would like to use the internet and social media a lot more. Part of it is I also belong to different other recovery groups. And most of all, I think I'm one of those people that always crave connection. However, as much as I do crave and try to connect and learn and grow and keep myself in 12-step and all these programs, is that I'm always running catch 22 in terms of my time. And that has to do a little bit with some medical issues. However, at my work, and what happens is I've been in program for many, many years. However, I've never been able to commit to a sponsor, and again, comes back to my organization skill and really not finding the time. However, what has helped me using the podcast, using the social media, and I really need help in being able to utilize it, because sometimes I end up spending hours and just giving up because I know I miss a little bit. For example, I signed up for the podcast for OA, and it's wonderful. However, I didn't know how to manage it in terms of, so I got like thousands, hundreds, and I didn't know how to stop, so I just stopped the whole thing. I didn't know how to manage it, how to download it so I can listen offline sometimes. Or, anyways, I don't know how to go about it. So if anyone has any ideas, thank you.
Anybody? Would you repeat the question? No, I'm just kidding.
Okay. I guess I kind of want to ask just for clarification. Is this? I guess the first question is this just to use it in general, or this is specifically using it for the 12-step? You know, ways to connect with 12-step. The first thing I would always say is, you know, as with anything else that goes on in life, it's totally appropriate to say I'm struggling with this. And if somebody has experience, you know, in the meetings you're in, I would appreciate some help and seeing, you know, who has it. I know that as someone who grew up with computers around me, it's often very difficult to figure out how to communicate, you know, what I'm doing to someone else. The story I like to tell about that is I have a cousin. He's about 13 now. When he was 3 years old, his mother would play a game with him where she'd take cards and she'd put the cards, she'd turn the cards over in front of him. She'd say, now point to the 3, now point to the 5, now point to the king, to teach him shapes and numbers and how to count, point to the heart and which red one. And the thing is, when he would point to things, he would go, because he'd grown up with a mouse. So to him, anytime he points at something, he should be clicking. That's in his brain. That is now an association that is difficult. Like, when he gets older, explaining to somebody what clicking on something is, he would be like, how do you not know how to click? Another thing I learned recently,
kids his age have started to ask their parents, why does the phone make that clicking sound when I take a photo? Because these people have, these individuals have never owned a physical camera. They have never owned anything that had a mechanical shutter on it. They also don't know what the funny shape is for the phone part of the phone, because most of them have never actually seen a cradle handset like the ones most of us, you know, the old AT&T kind of pyramid-shaped phone. So the best thing to do is, you know, raise your hand in meetings and ask. I know that there are fellows that I know in the room who there are a lot of non-12-step related groups that are definitely doing as charity work and as, you know, community outreach. They help people put together Facebook profiles, learn how to use LinkedIn, learn how to use Word, Office. There's all kinds of stuff. So I bet you if you were in a meeting, you just said, I'm looking for help with this kind of thing, someone would raise their hand and say, oh, I struggled with that. Here's the resource I use to learn it. So that would be my first thing. The only other thing I could possibly say about it, it's a great opportunity. I hate myself for saying this. It's a great opportunity to work your program. Because you just have to have patience with it. It's the only reason I know how to use computers is because I have grown up with them. The first computer came into my house in 1985 when I was 6 years old. It has always been there. There are things that I've always known. To my mind, in my head, there it is a natural thought that there is a place that is not physical. I know how, you know, Windows and documents and hard drives, all those things, like, it's just another place in my brain in a way that if you didn't grow up with it, you never kind of had that imaginary experience, you know? And it's a new skill. So you wouldn't sit down at a piano and try to play Tchaikovsky, and if you didn't get it in the first 5 minutes, go, this thing is stupid. This piano wants me to fail. But people do that with computers all the time. They sit down having had no practice. And they say, I'm just going to know how this works. And no, you're not, because it's like learning a new language and it's like learning a skill. So you just have to sit there and take it step by step, ask people questions, and just understand that it's going to take time. And enjoy the process. Enjoy the fact that, you know, you're going to learn little tricks along the way. Google is your friend. Google is designed so you can literally type in any question and it will usually send you to a YouTube video that, you know, says, here's how you do this. Click on this, click on that, type this in, and it'll do it. But it really is just be patient with it and don't expect that you're supposed to know how it works, because that's not really the case.
And I'm going to take this out of the technology realm for a minute, because I think I heard you say you've been doing 12 steps a little while, but you don't have a sponsor. Is that right? Never been able to get a sponsor. So I'm going to take this out of the technology realm, because a sponsor is somebody who guides you through the program. And I would encourage you to consider a sponsor. That is the type of person who can answer all kinds of questions about 12-step solutions, and especially having to do with social media and online and all that kind of stuff. I mean, that's their role. So.
Sure. You. Thank you.
Hi, Steve Compulso over here.
Hey, Steve.
I was curious, how many hours, either a day or a week, would you say you spend engaging with the computer to feed and care for your social media presence? Mm-hmm. And of those, how many hours do you enjoy, and how many are like you're doing it because you just have to do it to maintain this platform?
Okay, so the question is, how many hours a day do you spend engaging in social media presence? Yeah?
And how many do we enjoy?
I have the mic, so I'll just speak first and then pass it to the others. As little as humanly possible. It's a huge time suck. And but I do enough to, you know, I usually will check social media during down moments. And a down moment for me would be, cooking dinner, sitting on the phone on hold, waiting in line, you know, at Starbucks or something. I think ultimately I'd probably spend no more than 15 minutes a day. Anyone
else? I'm not on social media every day. I'm not on social media every week. When I do open up Facebook, I usually probably spend an hour or so. I am retired, and I have time to do that kind of stuff. So, yeah, when I open Facebook, I usually play around with it a little bit. And when I'm tired of it, I do something different. Yeah.
The answer to your question is most people think of social media for me is 15 to 30 minutes max every day. I don't enjoy Facebook. I actually only ever signed up for it because it was the fastest way to communicate with people in the business that I was working in. They would check their Facebook every 15 minutes. They would check their email twice a day. So if I wanted information to get to them faster, I would send it over a Facebook message or post it on my wall and it would pop up on theirs. Every about 15 minutes a day, I'll look and see what other people in my life and distant friends are doing. I have a lot of friends that are in different parts of the country, so I like to see their photos, and I like to see what they're up to and hear if there's any major news in their life, and sometimes send a happy birthday. But that's about it. That being said, that's the real social connecting media. Almost all of my news, which I'll spend up to 2 or 3 hours a day, comes through socially aggregated media sites. Hacker News, Reddit. These are places where people submit a story and other people read it. And if you think that story is worth people reading, you vote on it. You vote yes on it. You upvote it. And when they get up to a certain level, they become popular on the site. So if that's social media, then about 3 hours.
The question is OA currently open? And the reason I'm repeating it is just for the taping. I listen to these things, and if you can't hear the question, it's a real pain. if OA, quote unquote, is open to communicating with the other kinds of things like listservs or email groups. And the reason I can answer this is because I am at World Service Business Conference. The latest thing that we did almost a year ago now, last May, was that there is a courtesy listing of email loops, and it is not being utilized at all. And it may or may not serve that purpose, but it is a step and an openness to something in that direction. And I could speak to you more specifically about some of that stuff if you would like privately.
Did that answer your question?
Yes. Okay. Ellie, compulsive overeater.
Hi. So this year, for the first time that I'm aware of, the OA birthday party program is listed on the smartphone. In a perfect world, what would the next step be for the intergroup in moving forward and attracting more young people using technology?
I guess I don't need to repeat it because she said in the mic. What is the next step for attracting young people? My bet is a mobile application. That serves as a meeting finder, serves as some way to connect with other people in program. When you, Joanna, when you were sharing, my first thought was like, I can think of 6 different ways right now that are free or relatively cheap to basically call a phone number
for any given meeting, and the person who's currently holding the contact information, you know, the contact position, just the call gets forwarded to them, and nobody ever has to list their personal phone number ever again. There's Google Voice. Skype offers this ability. At the same time, I can use any number of very simple services to do this simply within an app. We could have an application that you open it up. Oh, there's a meeting that's happening nearby in the next hour. I don't have to look at the whole meeting list. I can see meetings that from this time forward. I don't care what happened at 9 a.m. today. And I can also just tap a button and the app will make a phone call or connect me in a text message or a chat of some kind with the person who is the contact. Or it can go into an email queue that any number of people associated with the meeting can respond to. I mean, a lot of these issues have to do with the fact that OA OA needs to attract the young people that have the skills to do this. I was really happy when we started having the OABirthday.com or .org address name, and then we started adding things where it was just program.oabirthday will forward you to this part. And every one of those links just forwards directly to the OALAIG website, which has always been there. And it was ridiculously simple to create that kind of name alias to turn what we have into something more easily printed and sent out to everybody. And it just has, you need the person who has the technical know-how to do it. We have a few people in program. We have a very small group of people in OA that appear to be doing the bulk of the digital work. And we can divide that up and once we get the skills and figure out who has the skills and get them abstinent and get them willing to do service. And the only other next step, because I jotted it down when you were sharing, it sounds maybe more complicated than we need. It may just be that it's time to start having a conversation about what would be digital traditions. And that becomes a matter of you have to ask yourself certain questions. Can this be searched? Can this be indexed? Can this where I'm putting this information, can it be harvested with very little effort? Can it be accessed? You know, would it be part of any major dump? When iCloud got hacked, I didn't need to know what I was looking for. I didn't need to search for a celebrity by name. I can grab gigabytes of data, and I don't care what's in it. I can use these techniques to grab the entire bulk of the data and then go through it at my leisure. So it's not even a matter of will somebody find this if they're targeting it specifically. It's if somebody breaks in and grabs the whole bucket, what is compromised? What am I putting at risk? And that kind of conversation, and Joanna, I think, hit it on the head. It's going to be a conversation. It's going to take a lot of effort and what feels right. But it really is a matter of once it's on, it's, as we tell every single 13-year-old, once it's online, you have no control. You are giving this up to the world. And that's, that's why people who have experience with it, we go, I'm going to create a different email address. I'm going to have a Facebook profile entirely separate from my real life. I'm going to make these, because it's got to be a tradition. The traditions are the things that we have to put extra effort into to make sure that they're being met. And it's just got to be something where we say, it's worth the time to turn this into a Google Voice number. It's worth the time to put in, this application or these services to do that.
That's a very interesting question,
Repeat the question.
Thank you. Yes, you're right. Repeat the question. Thank you, Margie. The question is: would it be within the traditions to employ SEO, which is search engine optimization tactics, so that when somebody puts into Google, for example, weight loss, the word OA pops up, it populates in there? Are we sure that's not already happening? By the way.
No.
It's not happening.
I don't know.
I think it might already be happening simply because OA, without the need of special SEO tactics, is such a popular online thing. So it would be interesting if anyone's got a smartphone right now, you want to Google weight loss, let's see what happens, and I'll just prattle on for a second. But I did want to address the tradition question because my OA sponsor took me through the traditions, and at which point I used to be like one of those people who, if I was in a step in tradition meeting and the traditions came up, I would be like, oh, damn, I wish I wasn't here today, or, oh, shoot, I forgot we were on a tradition today, I'm leaving. I literally hated them. And then I got taken through them in an appropriate way with a sponsor, and I became the tradition's police. Like, I went all the way to the other side. And so what happens as a result of being the tradition's police is I do have a tendency to pick up the phone and call OA World Services to ask their opinion on things. And here's what I can tell you about 12 steps and the traditions. They're very loose. Like, they really don't want to tell you one thing or another because every group is autonomous except for matters affecting OA as a whole. Your question involves OA as a whole. But having said that, our program is about attraction, not promotion. Right? So then you have the question, is that attraction or is that promotion? You could argue attraction because the person sought out the information. Right, but now we're in another realm of the traditions, which is, the group organization of this SEO thing. Like, and the good news is we are allowed to employ special workers, right, in order to carry out things like this, should we need to. So, but really, ultimately, and Margie might be able to speak to this since she is on involved in group service at that level. You know, is that someplace where we can put our resources right now should we choose to? Because the other reality of OA is that, you know, Aaron touched on it. We've got a few members who are tech people. And as he was speaking, I was thinking, well, let's employ a special worker. You know, but then when I hear when we have our intergroup reps come into meetings in Los Angeles and talk about the financial status of OA intergroup, it's scary. You know, it's not good. And I think, who's going to pay for that special worker? Where is that coming from? You know, so there are some realities to the fact that we are a member-run, you know, directing up to the top, meaning we control what happens at the top. Service, it makes things like your idea a little more difficult, you know. Did anyone Google it, by the way?
Actually, I wanted to
come up. It doesn't come up?
It doesn't.
Well, I'll make on the topic that Joanna brought up about whether it's, you know, is this worth our time or is this worth our effort? One thing to be aware that there are a lot of different factors that are going to come into play about what pops up when you Google something. The current state of the search engine is actually, if you happen to be someone who looks for 12-step or recovery things, it's more likely to show up in your search results. But the weight loss industry is a very lucrative industry in this country. You are competing with individuals you're competing with interests who are going to be spending lots of money to get those top slots on Google. So can we make our site much more friendly? You could probably do it if you want to take the effort to target what would be niche keywords. You're probably not going to get weight loss, but you might get healthy weight loss, or you might get safe weight loss, those kinds of things are much more likely, but I think you'd have a hard time going after the weight loss keyword. There's a thing called Google AdWords. You can go and see how much it costs, like per appearance, for something to show up for a certain word. And it's almost like the stock market. Like, it tells you right now it would cost you, you know, $150 to be the top search result for the keyword weight loss. And that's just on like one person's page when they search you, because that's what people are willing to pay for it in the AdWords.
Hi, my name is Catherine, and I've been in program 3 times, 13-year-old, so 1972, 21 years old, hi, 84, and back in 2007, so I'm not leaving, and 192 pounds was my results that I've given away, and maintaining 150. So tradition 11 is different than the original, and the last part of it says, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion, and we need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and here is the key that Roseanne added. And if you read Beyond Our Wildest Dreams, she talks about this. And she was a writer, and she added this part. So here we are. This is what we're talking about today. And it says, and other public media of communication. So I really appreciate everything you all had to share. It's so enlightening. And I am on the computer all the time. I do participate in telephone meetings. And myself and another member, I can't share her name because she's not here, but we, yeah, there's anonymity. We do participate in the telephone meetings and find a lot of recovery from them. And people have asked me to be their sponsor. I don't know why I'm shaking. But we do get a lot of recovery that way. And people, it's a spiritual meeting that we have. There's two spiritual meetings. They're Saturday mornings. And our website, we are now a virtual service board. So you call that an intergroup. And that's new. That's allowed by World Service. And we have our own trustee. And so there's not a lot of hiding. There's a lot of truth going on and people finding a lot of recovery. And our website is spiritualfitnessandserenity-oa.com. That's spiritualfitnessandserenity-oa.com. You can look us up. People can call from 48 different countries on when we have special functions. Otherwise, it's the regular phone number. And something happened to me. They all call me. My phone number is there, and they want help that way. But my question is, how do you feel about people using, you know, just one group in particular to find their recovery in just phones? I mean, do you really believe in that versus meetings?
Okay, for anyone listening, you couldn't see that, but she sort of directed it at me, so I'll answer it first. And if anyone else has a question, they can, the question part at least. And I would say that my opinion, which is only my opinion, is that whatever works, you know. I have no vested interest in, and there is no one way to do 12-step recovery. There's no right way to do 12-step recovery. It's whatever works. As a sponsor, if I hear, you know, a sponsee doing something or behaving in a way, I might recommend a shift. You know, I might, I believe as a sponsor, part of my job is to act as a mirror to the person who's calling me for direction and guidance, and to say, you know, this is how you're behaving or what you're doing. And as a result, you know, like, so I had mentioned when I spoke, I had a sponsee who traveled a lot, and she became very, very reliant on podcasts and wasn't really going to meetings. And when she phoned in, she wasn't actually participating in the phone meetings and all this kind of stuff. So I think as a sponsor, my job is to say to her, hey, you're actually hiding out right now in program, and you aren't sharing and you aren't being present. Why don't you consider an in-person meeting if you can get to one at whatever part of the world she was in at the time? But I'm not, I don't believe my job is to tell her what to do. It's simply to say, this is what I'm hearing in what you're telling me. And, I think you might want to consider a shift, and here are some tools. So if it's one way of doing it and it's working, that's great. Yeah. In my opinion.
Thank you, guys. Thank you all for participating. And let's thank Aaron, Margie, and Joanna one more time for sharing their experience, strength, and hope. The next sessions will be starting in about 15 minutes. So thank you for letting us be of service. One more announcement.
John Kay came in and left this note in front of me. If you are find yourself leaving the birthday party for the weekend, you're not coming back, you know, you're just here for the day or whatever, when you leave, we are short on these plastic badge holders. So if you could drop yours off at the registration area, it can be used by someone else who's coming just for today or just for tomorrow. So thank you very much.
Nice job. You were really important in order to get